Hi, I'm Teresa, owner of T3 Fit, and you're listening to the T3 Fit podcast, where scoliosis warriors and professionals come together. Here we talk about our scoliosis journeys and the emotional components it takes on from being a parent to being diagnosed with scoliosis and sometimes leading to surgery. It's a place where professionals share their expertise of treatments, from physical therapy to surgery, and so much more. So let's get started. Hey, everybody, welcome to the T3 Fit Scoliosis Podcast. We have been kind of incognito for a while. But we are back, and we are back with a guest. Her name is Carrie Green. She teaches women in particular, she teaches to master their anxiety and how to heal their nervous system. Carrie also has scoliosis and a spinal fusion, and she is here to tell us her story of all of it, of dealing with anxiety and mastering it for women and her journey with scoliosis. So Carrie, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to talk about this and be here, share my story.
You are welcome. Would you mind starting with your story of scoliosis?
Yes. So going back to middle school is when I started noticing that I was having pain in my back. And I had already had a couple of those, you know, gym checks.
Touch your toes.
Yeah, they didn't find anything, which was, you know, bizarre because I already had a pretty significant scoliosis. Went to the doctor, got diagnosed, and was told the same story as most people. You have to wear a brace and, you know, we'll wait and see what happens. So I think around this time I was probably in high school, and I was wearing this brace that I was told, you know, you should wear it 24/7. But of course, me being like, I'm not doing that kind of thing, I would wear it at night. And I remember having so much pain back then, and that was really tough on me. And
how old were you when this started, when your journey with this started?
Yes, the journey started in middle school. So that was probably around 13 or 14. I think when I started wearing the brace was probably like freshman year of high school, maybe around 15. And I remember not really understanding it at the time, kind of like making a joke out of it. You know, my friends would come over for a sleepover and they'd be like strapping me in my brace, like, ha ha. And, you know, looking back, oh, you know, that was pretty traumatic, not really funny. I honestly don't remember what happened to this brace. Okay. I have no clue. I have no memories of that. But I do remember all of the doctor's appointments, the wait and see, you know, basically being told that eventually you're going to have this surgery.
Okay.
And they would kind of scare me and say, you know, the longer you wait, the worse it will be. So, you know, we really encourage you to do it now. But I was playing so many sports and living my life. I was like horseback riding, playing softball, soccer, cheerleading, all that. So I just, you know, put it off.
Do you remember what type of brace it was? I mean, like, what year was this? Was it a plastic brace or?
This would have been about 2002.
Okay.
I don't know the names of them. It was like really hard. All one piece, and it's Velcroed in the back.
Okay, but it was. Did they do a 3D scan? Do you remember of your body, and then they? Okay, and then it's plastic and it's Velcro.
Yeah, and I remember, strangely, the day that they were like wrapping me in the paper mache.
Okay. Wow, they did that then?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yes,
that's because that's what I had in the 80s. Yeah,
so bizarre.
I didn't know that it's a very weird feeling.
So at the time, during this experience of wearing the brace and being in high school, I was in significant pain. that stands out to me so much. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I kept putting off this surgery because, of course, I didn't want to do that. I was hoping, you know, that would never happen. But then, you know, fast forward to college, I was in so much pain. I don't even think I could take it anymore. Right. And I was like, right, well, you know what? I'll do it on Christmas break. Because I thought, okay, it's going to be no big deal.
Right.
Because that's what they say, you know, it's going to be no big deal. So I go home for Christmas break, get the surgery. It is a big deal, of course. You know, it's like mm-hmm. a year-long recovery. But it was wild because I got it done, did my 30 days Christmas break, or not even 30 days, a couple mm-hmm. weeks at home, mm-hmm. flew back to North Carolina. I'm carrying my books to class, going about my life, just totally really? Normal.
Yes. And you were cleared by the doctors to do all that?
My memories are okay. so, I think I was. I think okay. I was. They did not tell me to do any like physical therapy or anything after. Okay. It was kind of like, you know, you'll do your checkup next time you're home. We check. So I remember doing that. Okay, you're good mm-hmm. to go. You look great.
Mm-hmm.
You look great. So here's where I knew and kind of gets into the anxiety stuff and the mm-hmm. nervous system stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So after the surgery, now my back is fused. Can't remember. It's like T1.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now the strange thing is my pain patterns were exactly the same after. And I remember thinking, you know, like, why is my pain pattern the exact same? If at least on the top, if that part is straight now.
Right.
And, you know, so there are some other things going on in my life and I'm figuring out what I want to do with my life. And I got into like social work and therapy and mm-hmm. started learning about, you know, trauma and anxiety and all
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to think, oh, maybe there's something more to this pain. Like maybe it's not totally about the scoliosis. Maybe it's
right.
emotional.
Yeah.
So that now we're fast forwarding even more to... Mm-hmm. you know, after grad school and actually I was living in Florida and I still had this pain.
Okay.
And whenever it would happen, I would go into this total shutdown, just being like frozen, just
okay.
totally frozen and hopeless and like being mad at the world and mm-hmm. mad at my body. But then, you know, I started learning about the nervous system and mm-hmm. thinking there must be something more. And I learned that the nervous system can store basically like memories and pain patterns and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I sort of started talking to someone. I started learning that there was other things you can do for your scoliosis, which we were never told about, you know, back then. I never knew about Scully Pilates and Schroth. Yeah. You know, I was like, you know what, let me try some things and just see what happens, see how I feel. And I started mm-hmm. a journey of like working on that and mm-hmm. it kind of melted away, which was wild. As soon as I started doing things for my scoliosis that made me feel like more in control again,
mm-hmm.
my pain melted away and now I barely have any.
So do you think that if you hadn't had the surgery and you had learned about that, even without having the surgery, that the pain would have subsided?
I would say probably. I can't say for okay. sure.
Of course.
But when I read, you know, read about other people's experiences, and mm-hmm. I had a couple meetings with Erin Myers from Spiral Spine and read her mm-hmm. book, and, you know, she talks a lot about a lot of people who don't get the surgery and they come into the studio and a lot of this is so much, we're holding so much trauma from all yeah. these doctor's appointments and being told, oh, you know, wait and see, there's nothing you can do. And if you think about that on a biological level and how scary that would be for your
mm-hmm.
nervous system to be told, you know, you have this condition, there's nothing yeah. you can do. That's going to make us feel totally out of control. So I think there's something to like, doing things to make you feel in control and knowing that you can help your body and you can mm-hmm. heal your body in many ways, even though you have this scoliosis.
Yeah.
I do think that you could reduce your pain drastically because the trauma of it would melt away a little bit.
It's so interesting. I just want a quick question. Do you know what your curves were?
I believe that one of them was probably 60. I think the top one was maybe 55, if I can remember. I tried to find those x-rays, but they're long gone.
It's so interesting because we, but it's so interesting because we, you know, there is, with so many people I talk to who have scoliosis and they have pain, and sometimes when, you know, when surgery is necessary, there's a certain dark space of this whole journey, right? And there's nothing that we can do to get past it. I know with my experience, it was a very dark time and there were no answers. You know, it was wait and see and get a cast, get a brace, get a second brace, do your exercises, didn't work, surgery, and then that was it. You know, and there wasn't the support. And even though Schroth existed, it wasn't recognized in this country at the time. So it's like you carry this darkness. And the orthopedics with the wait and see, it's hard to take that on, right? Not just you as an individual, but your parents as well. And to create some type of support system with that. And I hear it over and over and over again. But thankfully there's the knowledge out there now with Schroth, you know, with Scully Pilates, with Aaron Meyer, you know, there's tons of people out there who have spinal fusions, who teach Pilates, who do all different types of modalities and training, strength training, to give the support and not have it be as dark a time as it was. And part of what you teach is that component as well, right? Teaching women to master their anxiety and to heal the nervous system is something that is almost more deeper than the surgery, because it gives us acceptance, it gives us encouragement, it gives us nurturing.
Right.
So would you, okay, I'm going to stop talking. You share about it with us.
Yes. Well, one thing that I think is super important and that I teach and I resonate the most with my own experience is because you're talking about the darkness, the dark time. Mm-hmm. I was in the darkness for, 15 years. Okay. And it was
a long time.
So dark. I mean, so it can, and that's why this is so, I feel so passionate about this, because the thing about the nervous system is when you're in survival mode, especially the frozen part, the dark, which we call dorsal vagal, fight or freeze, you can stay there for weeks, months, or years. You could stay there for years, because your body, your nervous system is going into this protective mode when you're going through any kind of distressing experiences. And let's say those distressing experiences keep going and going. Mm-hmm. Your nervous system is so smart. It's going to be like, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to be here for this. We are going to shut down. You don't have to be fully present if you're going to go through this. So when I was in the dark time, I really thought that I was depressed, just from what I knew about depression, which was hardly anything. I just knew that it was okay that people feel down. But there was another thing that I experienced, which I never understood what it was. I thought it was something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. When something would like trigger me, I would become frozen. I mean, physically frozen, and let's say like go in my room and not be able to come out, even though I would maybe want to, or I would want to like say something and talk to people. And it's like a physical hijacking.
Mm-hmm. That's a perfect description of it.
Yeah.
And you were in that space, I'm going to call it, for 15 years.
Yeah. I mean, you come out some days, of course. I was functioning and I had friends and I had fun and I went to college and I was performing, getting good grades, but then when I would be triggered or stressed, then I would go into this dorsal vagal, and then I would be hijacked again, and I would just sit in my room and I wouldn't come out, and I would think, oh my gosh, you know, I'm so depressed, what's wrong with me? Now what I know is, like, oh, you weren't depressed, you were in survival mode.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
I was going to say, that's something that I really want everyone with scoliosis to know about, because if you think about being told you have this thing in your body and there's nothing you can do. I mean, what this dorsal vagal frozen piece is, if on a primal level, is you have the fight or flight, which is, okay, you're running from a predator or you're going to fight it. And then you have the frozen state, which is now the predator has you and you're trapped.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about a doctor telling you you have a condition and there's nothing you can do about it, your nervous system is going to say, hey, we're trapped.
Yeah. So how did you learn to get out of that?
Yeah, great question. Part of it was noticing that I had this belief stuck with me that kept repeating over and over and over. And what it sounded like was, there's nothing I can do about this.
Okay.
And then I was like, you know what? You know, as I was doing therapy and teaching people how to, like, change their negative beliefs and thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? Wait, I have some. There is a cassette in my brain playing over and over saying there's nothing I can do. And when I would have pain or be triggered, that's what it sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, where does that come from? Is that really true? How do I know that for sure? Like, are there things I can do? And I actually started seeing online, thanks to Instagram, all these accounts.
Yeah.
And I started seeing all these amazing things that people were doing, and, you know, actually getting suggested people's accounts that have scoliosis, because, you know, and I was like, you know what? There's all these programs. Like, so the belief started to shift. And then I realized that belief is not mine, actually. Where that came from, the voices of others, those appointments, the doctors. Okay. Not that they wanted to traumatize me, but, you know, that's just what happens.
Yeah. So it's their language.
They don't realize they're traumatizing us, but that's a whole nother.
It's a whole nother episode.
It's a whole nother thing.
I think everybody could jump on that and be like,
exactly. Yeah, stop. Don't say that. I have a funny story about that, actually, after. But, you know, so I started to shake up this belief and realize it wasn't mine. And I was really curious about it. And then I found Vivian Doreen, her Scolio Fitness. And I whatever is going to happen is going to happen. Let me try it.
Yeah,
I tried it. My whole belief shifted because I felt so in control of my body now. I was like, that's wrong. There's so much I can do.
Yeah.
And that's when everything changed.
So you were already practicing the anxiety space for women that you specialize in. And I say this not to sound like mean or arrogant or anything, but you were practicing what you were preaching.
Yes. So
it clicked.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I started, before I specialized in women with anxiety and trauma, I was doing other things. I was working with, like, foster kids.
Okay.
And so I wasn't quite focusing on that yet, but I was in the process of learning about trauma. And it was kind of aligned with my own journey and my work is, like, the more I worked with trauma and the more I learned about it, the more awareness I also had of myself. And I'm like actually grateful that it happened that way, because I don't know if I would have found out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the journeys are really aligned, but the thing that helped me the most was the challenging negative thoughts, helping others do that. And then realizing like how many because I was doing it in other areas, but not with the scoliosis.
Okay.
Not realizing like the beliefs that I held that weren't maybe correct.
It's it's so interesting because, I mean, like I said, you know, my own story with it was very dark. And when you flip it on yourself and you're like, wait a minute, you know, and you have, as you said, you have that tape player that's repeating, right? And it's just like coming back at you and coming back at you and coming back at you. And then you stop the tape and you're like, I need to change this recording. You know, I need to flip, for anybody who knows what a cassette player is and how they work, you would flip it and hit record on the other side.
Good point.
And then, you know, it's like now it's all digital, but you know, that's what we would do. And then you just change the conversation.
Yeah.
So that you're recording, your repetition of a recording is something totally different. And when that starts to happen, like we just, our doors open up to what is actually possible.
Yeah.
And you get to give the gift of that to not just yourself,
right?
But people on Instagram, as you said, there's a world of us out there with scoliosis and spinal fusions. And it becomes, I can't even say it becomes a gift because it's so much bigger than that for us. When you discovered this for yourself, how long ago was that?
It was 6 years ago.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. And you've just like, and what else has it given you? And how have you translated that into people in our community and helping them?
Yeah. So at first it was very, I was very focused on the beliefs of it all, like changing these, noticing that we hold these negative core beliefs that are kind of, you know, affecting us emotionally and even in our behaviors. Like if I have a belief that there's nothing I can do, then everything that I do is going to be aligned with that, right? So at first it was very focused on that. But here's what happened and how I got into like the nervous system aspect of it all. So I had my private practice and I'm working with women to, like, you know, challenge their anxiety with talking, you know, kind of battling their, let's say, fears, irrational thoughts, negative beliefs about themselves. And so I would have the most committed ladies in the world just wanting so badly to change their anxiety or their, you know, negative beliefs about themselves. Mm-hmm. And they would come to the session over and over and over, and it would work, you know, during the session. But here's what happens when you're in survival mode. For some reason, let's say you have trauma or you've just been through so much chronic stress. It's really hard to change your negative beliefs about anything if you're in survival mode, because it's almost like a different, not almost, it's like a different part of the brain is online, like survival brain is different from logical brain. So they leave the session and then, you know, they're still in survival mode. Everything's still going to sound really negative.
Okay.
And what we're taught in school as therapists is very basic, like grounding techniques, like, you know, you can breathe and you can, you know, do X, Y, Z, go for a walk and all of that, which is great. But I realized it just wasn't enough. Like there has to be something more that can get someone out of survival mode so that the work that they're doing in the therapy sessions or the coaching sessions is going to stick. And so that's how I got, I got into nervous system regulation and got certified in the, neurological fitness.
Okay.
And for those listening, they can't see me, but there's so basically these really short somatic exercises that you can do that make your nervous system feel safe. It's all physical, nothing to do with thinking. People do like body tapping and the videos I make with like the shaking and the bouncing around. So that makes us feel, the nervous system feel safe. Rational brain comes back online and then we can kind of work on our thoughts after.
So do you do the nervous system, I'll call them taps. And then do you kind of follow through with like affirmations so that it's a building block of blanketing out the negative thoughts?
Great question. Great question. It's just what I, in the program I created, the process is like step one, we regulate, just regulate, feel safe again. Step two is exactly what you said, like let's find some of the negative beliefs and then we can actually rewire them through like, let's say tapping while you're saying it. My old belief is there's nothing I can do about my body, about my life. And you're like tapping as you're saying it. Then you mm-hmm. can have a new belief emerge that's like, there's always something I can do and I'm healing all the time. Okay. And it really sets it into the nervous system.
Okay. It's interesting because I spoke with somebody a while ago and it was the nervous system. And she was talking about tapping, just tapping on your temples, tapping on your forehead. And she had scoliosis. She has scoliosis. And she didn't know her curves, but she did this nervous system tapping and her curves decreased and she grew.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
And I was,
because that happened to me.
Really?
Yes.
Tell us more.
Okay. So after my surgery, well, here's another thing they don't tell you, that the parts that aren't fused, the parts that aren't fused can get worse. Okay. You know, they probably should have mentioned that so that I could have been a little more careful, but neither here nor there. So I moved to Florida and I was like, you know mm-hmm. what? I'm really curious. I just want to get an x-ray because I want to know. I haven't gotten one in so long.
Right.
I had my x-ray from right after the surgery. So my lumbar was still at exactly 20. Okay. And then, so that was 2007. So I probably got an x-ray done in 2020 and saw that the lumbar was 25.
Okay.
And I got freaked out. I was like, so freaked out. Like, whoa, now this is not good.
Nervous system is like,
it was really activated.
Yeah.
It was really activated. So around this time is when I was doing Vivian's program and I was learning about the nervous system and kind of just like really regulating myself. I was doing all the things, so many things. Mm-hmm. Fast forward 1 year. And I was like, let me see, because I was like kind of going crazy about it. Let me see if we're the same, better or worse.
Right.
It went back to 20 in 1 year, back to 20.
Really?
Yes. And the doctor was, he was so sweet, but he didn't know. He was like, what have you been doing? I'm like trying to tell him, like, I'm regulating my nervous system. I'm doing scolio Pilates. And he's like writing it down. He's like, okay, well, keep doing that.
And was this the orthopedic you had seen before in the beginning?
Someone different, because that guy was at NYU.
Okay.
Yeah. And this was just somebody that I found in Florida.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. It's what, you know what? I say if it works and it keeps us living in a healthy space and being pain free and it's empowerment. And from there you can go, you know, get stronger with either working with Viv, because it's Day with Viv, right? On Instagram. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw her just 3 weeks ago. So, but if it's her or, you know, anything with Shroff, you know, just to have those, once again, those building blocks to increase our strength. Not just physically, but mentally as well, and keep out the negative blocks, you know, the darkness of it. It's good. And it's great also because you gave the orthopedic information and mm-hmm. hopefully they will, that, you know, instead of having like the wait and see policy, it's like, well, look into this, look into this. And not, it's so often the case where if you go to see a doctor, it, in some ways it becomes less about us. You know, and that's a whole other conversation. But you are based in Florida and you are from New Jersey, from up north. We were neighbors. Mm-hmm. Then you were in New York. Right. And how long have you been practicing all of this combined now together?
All of the program that I just created, which I call Nerve Disor, and it's an 8-week program, which is the Mastering Anxiety and Heal Your Nervous System for Women. I just started that actually 2 months ago. So I have okay. 2 founding members.
Nice.
Brand new. I spent a long time creating it and figuring out like the perfect way to incorporate everything, like the best things that I use for trauma and anxiety and therapy,
mm-hmm.
adding the physical parts as well. And then, okay. you know, going through step by step, how okay. we can really like, you know, speed up this healing process. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is an 8-week course, you said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I have a question for you. If, you know, I always like to ask this question towards the end. If you met the young Carrie when she was in pain and not diagnosed, 2 questions. What would you say to her? And if you met the young Carrie who was in pain and diagnosed, what would you say to her?
I would met the young Carrie that was in pain and not diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
I would say look for something, like find out there is a reason for this, because back then everything was so confusing, mm-hmm. and it seemed more like the universe is like out to get me kind of mm-hmm. thing, like yeah. life is unfair, something's wrong with you. I would reassure her that there's a reason for your pain. This is very valid. And also there's other things going on in your life too, right? It's not just scoliosis.
Yeah.
I'd say it's okay. You can find out what's going on and take care of yourself. Like you can get help, you know? So I would maybe feel less confused and hopeless at the time.
Mm-hmm.
If I was diagnosed, what would I say? That was, I think I would say the same thing.
Okay.
Because it was still very hopeless and very feeling like unjust. Mm-hmm. Like everything mm-hmm. felt unjust, that I had this mm-hmm. thing happening in my body. It's not fair. Other people are normal. I was very angry. Very angry. So I think I would go back and say, it's okay to be angry.
Yeah.
It's okay to be angry, but you can heal from this. There are things you can do. There are things you can do. Don't listen to them.
So I hear you and I hear me, but I hear the same person. Just I didn't have anybody saying that.
Yeah.
To my young self. But is there, yeah. Is there anything else you would like to share that we haven't covered? That you would like to tell the audience today?
I loved your last question. So I think that for anyone listening, that is the message, if anything, I would want to give. If you're feeling in pain or you're feeling hopeless or you're feeling angry and like life is not fair because of this, mm-hmm. take what we're talking about today and all of your other episodes and use that as like data, real data, that you have a world, a whole universe of things that you can do to heal. There's always something you can do to heal, always. Doesn't mean you're going to take scoli out of the body, but we're healing all the time.
Yeah. And I just want to ask this one question. Have you ever come across, or were you ever at a point where you weren't open to receiving? Or have you had clients who weren't open to receiving and taking this in? Because it can be a little bit of an adjustment for people to be like, if I do this, this will go away. And, you know, with our bodies and with the curves, and in this country, you know, we are a country that wants immediate satisfaction.
Right.
And sometimes that doesn't always happen. So what would be something like if I tried it and said, this isn't working, you know, and I felt very frustrated, what else can be done to support that person, to help them through the journey?
I love this question, because when we're in survival mode, we're not going to believe it. So yep. I would normalize that. I wouldn't try to convince anyone to believe that. because mm-hmm. you're not going to believe it until you see it. So I would really validate that and say, and I would just explain, you're in survival mode. That makes sense. It makes sense that you are, and it makes sense that you don't believe that yet. Let's take one more step. Let's just try one more step, and that's it. Because I'm not going to try to convince anyone of something they're not going to believe yet.
So it's about people. It's about validating them being heard.
Yes, and explaining what survival mode is. Like, if you're in survival mode, you're not going to believe things are going to get better.
Yeah. You're just like, you're in that moment.
You're just in it.
Yeah. But that's, you know, in our world and in every world, we often need to be heard. And when we are heard, then we can slow down.
Yeah.
And that's huge. That's huge in what you're saying and what you're offering and what you're giving. And in this community, I mean, I can only talk about this community because I've lived with this most of my life and I have different segments of it. But if I had had that when I was younger, it would have been so different.
So different.
It would have been so different. My daughter was diagnosed, and so I changed the conversation. But the fear was there, and then we just slowed down.
Right.
But thank you. Is there anything else you would like to say to the people listening to this podcast episode?
I would just like to say, you are healing all the time. Just keep repeating that to yourself. You are healing all the time. We're changing beliefs as people are listening to this.
So everyone, take that into account. You are healing all the time. And just repeat it as often as you need to. Walk down the street, say it in your car, sing it to yourself. However it gets you through it, we are healing all the time. Carrie, I would like to thank you very much for being a guest on the show. If anybody would like to reach out to Carrie, you can find her on Instagram, Carrie Green Official. She is listed there. I will post this in the show notes. But Carrie, I would like to thank you so much for being a guest on the T3 Fit Scoliosis podcast. It has been enlightening. It has been empowering. It has been kind. And it has been validating. And I wish I had known you when I was younger in the beginning of my journey. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
If you like this episode, chances are there's someone else out there who needs to hear it too. So it would be a huge favor to me if you'd go ahead and give us a 5-star review. It helps me get the message out to more people. And if you need help moving in pain, then download my 5 free tips, and I'll catch you on the next episode.